Thank you, Nadia. Good afternoon to everyone on the call. Thank you for joining us on this call to review the 16-week data from lebrikizumab phase III study. As usual, you can find the slides to this call on the investor page of our website at almirall.com. Moving to slide two, I would like to remind you that information presented in this call contains forward-looking statements that involve known and unknown risk, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause actual results to differ materially. With that, please advance to slide three. Presenting today, we have Gianfranco Nazzi, Chief Executive Officer, and Karl Ziegelbauer, Chief Scientific Officer. Gianfranco will start with a focus on the atopic dermatitis market. Karl will then provide you with detail on the atopic dermatitis, the IL-13 pathway, and the 16-week phase III of lebrikizumab. Gianfranco will then make the closing comments before opening up for a Q&A session. I would like to pass you over to our CEO, Gianfranco Nazzi.
Thanks a lot, Pablo, for the introduction, and a good afternoon to everyone on the call. We are very pleased to update you today on lebrikizumab phase III, 16 weeks data. And let me start with the holistic view of the atopic dermatitis market within the context of our focus on medical dermatology. The medical dermatology market is over $40 billion and growing at double-digit rates. Our medical dermatology portfolio includes key treatment for each of our core therapeutic areas, and one of our key strengths is our position in an attractive indication within this space. We have continued to positively surprise the market with our first launch of a biologic in Europe with Ilumetri for psoriasis, and today we are providing further details of a very significant opportunity we have with our innovative biologic, lebrikizumab, for the atopic dermatitis. Atopic dermatitis is an underserved $5 billion market growing at 22% CAGR with relatively highly unmet need for new and different therapies. This graph shows the substantial market opportunity, and the good news is that today there are only two biologics that are marketed, dupilumab of Sanofi and tralokinumab of Leo Pharma. Since the launch of Dupi, Sanofi have been able to secure very good market access in Europe. This is a positive indicator for Lebri, as well, we have not had to create the market access in atopic dermatitis, and instead, we can follow up on what's already been created from dupilumab. Some experts believe that the atopic dermatitis market will grow over time and to be similar to the psoriasis, which, I remind you, is approximately $20 billion. We are excited by the emerging profile of Lebri, and Karl later in his presentation will provide you further details about what it has to offer to our patients. In the meanwhile, as an organization, we are working very hard to ensure a successful launch of the product in late 2023. Let's move to the next slide. This slide shows you recent development within the European market for the atopic dermatitis. Since we exercised the option on lebrikizumab, there has been some positive development in the market, even as we have seen positive updates on the profile of lebrikizumab. It's also clear that biologics are becoming the standard of care. Today's announcement, which we view as very positive for Almirall, validates the hypothesis that indeed lebrikizumab is a very interesting molecule. Sanofi, the dupilumab, has obtained a market access nearly everywhere in Europe, which helps to open the way for further incumbent to that indication. We see their global peak sales of potential for Dupi of around $13 billion, as stated yesterday from Polazzo, as an important external validation of our library potential. While there are a number of products under development, there remains a significant need to provide new options to patients. The atopic dermatitis market is large and growing with biologic penetration rate still low. Similar to what has transpired in the psoriasis market, we expect patients and physicians to try a number of medicines. This slide tells you why we are so excited by the opportunity with Lebri of having a compelling profile and having met the primary and all key secondary endpoints. Lebri has a strong efficacy profile, having achieved significant improvement with more than 50% of the people treated, achieving at least 75% of improvement in the overall disease severity as measured by the EASI 75. It also offers clinical meaningful improvement in itch, another important patient-reported outcome compared to patients taking placebo. There is a fast onset of action, rapidly improved skin and itch symptoms in as early as 4 weeks. This phase 3 result confirmed lebrikizumab may be potential offer an interesting combination of efficacy and safety. Within this context, let me give you more details. We are very excited about the 16 weeks result presented at the American Academy of Dermatology by our partner Eli Lilly. Lebrikizumab delivered rapid improvement in skin clearance, itch, quality of life measure for those with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. The data strongly reinforce our belief that lebrikizumab represents the next generation of biologics in atopic dermatitis. We remain very confident in lebrikizumab, and we are looking forward to a dossier submission during this year where we trust the 52-week result from Advocate 1 and 2 will further reaffirm the profile of this product and provide much-needed relief for people who struggle for this chronic, lifelong disease. I will now pass over to the call to Carl, who will discuss in more detail the characteristics of the atopic dermatitis and will elaborate on the science of biologics and lebri in particular. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Gianfranco, and welcome from my side. So I'm extremely thrilled today to discuss with you the first phase 3 result of lebrikizumab, which we shared today following the presentation last week at the AAD in Boston. Let me start by reminding us what atopic dermatitis is about. Atopic dermatitis, also known as atopic eczema, is an inflammatory skin disease. It is characterized by itchy, red, swollen, and cracked skin, amongst other non-dermatological comorbidity. It poses a significant burden on patients' quality of life, as well as other healthcare resources. Atopic dermatitis can occur at any age. It typically starts in the childhood with changing severity over the years. Prevalence in the pediatric population could be as high as 20% with all severities of the disease. Incidence is increasing just as it is for other atopic conditions such as asthma or rhinitis. According to the WHO 2010 Global Burden of Disease Survey, atopic dermatitis is associated with the highest number of disability-adjusted life year of all skin disorders. Anxiety and depression are frequent comorbidities. Let me now turn on the next slide what we know about the molecular drivers of this disease. Recent data suggests that the cytokine IL-13 rather than IL-4 plays a central role in type 2 inflammation in atopic dermatitis. IL-13 is a central inflammatory mediator in atopic dermatitis and may underlie a range of signs and symptoms, including skin barrier dysfunction, itch, infection, and hard, thickened areas of the skin. When analyzing protein levels in lesional skin of atopic dermatitis patients, IL-13, but not IL-4, was overexpressed as shown on the left graph. In addition, as shown on the right graph, IL-13 overexpression correlates with disease severity. Next slide. As already mentioned, IL-13 is a central inflammatory mediator in atopic dermatitis and influences skin barrier dysfunction, itch, infection, and skin thickness. On a molecular level, IL-13 binds to two receptors, as shown on the figure of the left side. IL-13 binds on the one side to the heterodimeric receptor IL-4R-alpha, IL-13R-alpha-1, leading to the activation of downstream signaling pathway and Th2 inflammation. On the other side, IL-13 binds to IL-13 receptor alpha-2. IL-13 receptor alpha-2 is a monomeric receptor and hypothesized to act as a decoy receptor, potentially neutralizing the excess of IL-13. Lebrikizumab binds to IL-13 with a very high affinity at an epitope that prevents the formation of the IL-13, IL-4 receptor alpha, IL-13 receptor alpha-1 trimeric signaling complex, but not the binding of IL-13 to the IL-13 receptor alpha-2. Furthermore, lebrikizumab has a high bioavailability. On the next slide, I will explain the differences in the mode of action of the different antibodies for atopic dermatitis. I would like to spend some time to go through this slide in detail to emphasize why are we so excited about lebrikizumab from a mechanistic perspective. Here we see lebrikizumab in the middle compared to two monoclonal antibodies on the market in that space, dupilumab and tralokinumab. Dupilumab prevents formation of type 1 and type 2 receptor complexes, blocking both IL-4 and IL-13 downstream signaling, while lebrikizumab and tralokinumab target IL-13 only. Tralokinumab binds to an epitope of IL-13 that prevents both the blocking of the type 2 receptor complex as well as the IL-13 receptor alpha-2, the decoy receptor, thereby interfering with a potentially physiologically relevant IL-13 recycling. Lebrikizumab, on the other hand, specifically prevents formation of the type 2 receptor complex, thus blocking type 2 receptor signaling, but not endogenous IL-13 recycling through the IL-13 receptor alpha-2. Furthermore, lebrikizumab has a higher affinity for IL-13 as compared to tralokinumab. What is important in summary is that not all antibodies for atopic dermatitis are the same. We believe that with its unique profile of targeting with high affinity the relevant part of the IL-13 signaling, lebrikizumab offers a best-in-class value proposition for atopic dermatitis patients. Let me now introduce ADvocate 1 and 2. This phase III program was initiated in October 2019 in patients with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis, designed to evaluate lebrikizumab as monotherapy in adult and adolescent patients. ADvocate 1 and 2 are ongoing 52-week randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled parallel group phase III studies with about 400 patients each. These are designed to evaluate lebrikizumab as monotherapy in adult to adolescent patients. Adolescent patients meet age 12 to less than 18 years of age and weighing at least 40 kilograms, both with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Both studies have an induction period of 16 weeks, testing subcutaneous lebrikizumab 250 milligrams every other week versus placebo, followed by a maintenance period of 36 weeks, which will test both lebrikizumab every 2 weeks and every 4 weeks versus placebo. This study excludes participants that have been previously treated with either dupilumab or tralokinumab, so includes only biologic-naive patients. Today, we cover the results of the every 2 weeks dosing at week 16, and we will provide further details on the every 4 weeks dosing at the time the week 52 results will be available. The primary endpoints were assessed at week 16 in the two studies and were measured by an investigator global assessment IGA score of clear or almost clear skin with a reduction of at least 2 points from baseline. At week 16, and at least 75% or greater change from baseline in their eczema area and severity index EC at score at week 16. In addition, various secondary endpoints were determined. In the Advocate 1 study, this is now shown on the next slide, 59% of patients treated with lebrikizumab achieved at least 75% skin clearance EC75 at week 16, compared to 16% of patients treated with placebo. Statistically significant differences between patients receiving lebrikizumab and placebo were observed as early as week 2 for EC75. In the Advocate 2 study, 51% of patients treated with lebrikizumab achieved at least 75% skin clearance at week 16, compared to 18% of patients taking placebo. Now let's look at IgA, the co-primary endpoint. In the Advocate 1 study, 43% of patients receiving lebrikizumab achieved clear or almost clear skin at week 16, compared to 13% of patients taking placebo. In the Advocate 2 studies, 33% of patients treated with lebrikizumab achieved clear or almost clear skin at week 16, compared to 11% of patients treated with placebo. Significant improvement were seen within 4 weeks. On the next slide, we look at secondary endpoints. Secondary endpoints included the proportion of patients achieving EC improvement of at least 50%, 75%, or 90% from baseline, the percent change in the pruritus numeric rating score with an improvement of at least 4 points. Change in sleep loss from baseline were also measured. The data shown on this slide indicate a good response in EC90 with 250 milligram lebrikizumab every 2 weeks. Regulators require IgA assessment and EC75 as primary endpoints, but EC90 is a very high hurdle to overcome, and we're very happy to see those results. On the next slide, we will move to itch. Itch, which is the most prominent symptom strongly affecting patients' quality of life, was measured by the pruritus numerical rating scale. Lebrikizumab improved itch measured by more than 4 point improvement versus baseline in the pruritus numerical rating scale in 46.3 and 38.3 of patients respectively. These data reinforce lebrikizumab's ability to address one of the most debilitating and highest reported symptoms of patients with atopic dermatitis, namely itch. If you go to the next slide, in addition, improvement in sleep quality measured by an improvement of more than 2 points on a numeric rating scale was seen in patients treated with lebrikizumab. This again is something really important for patients. Finally, and this is on the next slide, atopic dermatitis carries a high burden in terms of quality of life, which was therefore also measured. Dermatology health-related quality of life scores were determined by the first on treatment assessment at week 16. Lebrikizumab improved quality of life in a rapid dose-dependent manner compared with placebo in 75.5 and 64 for patients respectively. This suggests that patients experienced a rapid improvement in quality of life parameters. Moving to the safety profile, the overall safety profile at week 16 shows that lebrikizumab was well tolerated with an overall incidence of adverse events comparable to placebo or even lower. This is consistent with prior lebrikizumab studies in atopic dermatitis and similar to other targeted biologic therapies in that space. Patients taking lebrikizumab compared to those on placebo reported a lower frequency of adverse events in both Advocate 1 and advocate too. Most adverse events across the two studies were mild or moderate in severity and did not lead to discontinuation of treatment. The most commonly reported adverse events were conjunctivitis, nasopharyngitis, and headache. In summary, we are very excited about the week 16 data I just presented, and we believe this underscores the potential of lebrikizumab in atopic dermatitis. As shown, the data at week 16 from two pivotal phase 3 trials suggest that lebrikizumab every 2 weeks is efficacious for patients with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Importantly, lebrikizumab demonstrated rapid efficacy in primary and key secondary endpoints. Statistically significant was achieved in key endpoints as early as week 2 with a very good safety profile. These results provide further evidence that IL-13 is a key pathogenic driver in atopic dermatitis. We look forward to continuing our collaboration with Eli Lilly on the lebrikizumab clinical development program and are excited by the prospect of delivering this promising therapy to people living with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis in Europe. With that, I'll pass back to Gianfranco.
Thank you, Carl, and let me walk you through our peak sales assumptions. Atopic dermatitis is an underserved and large growing market, estimated to have about 5.5 million moderate to severe patients in Europe by 2026. Out of the moderate severe patient group, we estimate that a meaningful share will be treated with new systemics, which suggest at least 500,000 patients. One similarity with the psoriasis market is that we expect patients and physicians to use a number of medicines, and we believe biologics will establish a meaningful share. Within the biologic share, we remain confident in lebrikizumab competitive profile. Currently, there are only two biologics approved for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis, thereby giving Almirall a unique opportunity to help the patient with atopic dermatitis live a better life. We will also note that unlike in psoriasis, where the primary goal of treatment is skin clearance, we believe that atopic dermatitis is more heterogeneous and therefore do not expect a linear treatment algorithm as more treatment options became available as clinical aspects like immunophenotypes, emotional, physiological, physical impact, and patient preference can vary broadly. There remains a large unmet need to provide new options to patients, and therefore, several medicines are needed to meet the diverse range of patient needs. We will wait until we have the full 52-week data, which will be more meaningful to understand the profile and to review the market, which is changing favorably. And now, let me wrap up. As we said, lebrikizumab is one of our most promising assets and will be one of the several new growth drivers in Almirall playbook over the next few years. The phase 3 study so far confirms that lebrikizumab may potentially offer a compelling combination of efficacy and safety, reinforcing that our belief in lebrikizumab has the potential to be the leading treatment option among a new generation of biologics. Our confidence in Lebri follows a strong clinical profile that is emerging, and specifically with significant improvement in more than 50% of the people treated achieve at least 75% improvement in the overall disease severity at week 16, as measured by the EASI-75, and with a fast onset of action in as early as 4 weeks. We expect to complete the ongoing Advocate 1 and Advocate 2 52 weeks maintenance phase in the first half of the year. We are optimistic that the 52-week results from Advocate 1 and 2 will further demonstrate that lebrikizumab can provide much-needed relief for people who struggle from this chronic, lifelong disease. Week 52 maintenance results from Advocate 1 and 2, as well as data from the other ongoing study in the phase 3 clinical trial development program, will provide more information, and we are still hopeful to differentiate with the every 4 week treatment. Physicians consistently report the need for new treatment because atopic dermatitis
can vary greatly from person to person. In short, we feel lebrikizumab has a competitive profile, and we plan regulatory filings with the EMA in the late 2022, and we would expect approval about 1 year later, in late 2023. Finally, Almirall is well positioned for long-term growth by unlocking the value of the late-stage pipeline. Our focus strategy on the medical dermatology space positions us as well in the midterm. And we are going to continue to execute on our strategy, transforming our portfolio with a series of exciting and innovative pipeline assets that support our future growth prospect. And with that, Pablo, I will now hand back to you for the instruction on the Q&A.
Thank you, Gianfranco. Nadia, back to you for the Q&A, please.
Thank you, dear participants. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from the line of Emmanuel Papadakis from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Thank you for taking Thank you for taking the question. So perhaps I'll take two. One on just the European commercial market opportunity relative to US. It's notable that atopic dermatitis commercial development has been very US focused so far. So do you think there's any specific barriers in Europe that are preventing it more closely tracking the commercial development of the US atopic dermatitis market, or is that just a matter of timing, for example? And perhaps you could just help us with the timing of likely major reimbursement post the late 2023 launch. And then just a question in terms of clinical positioning, are you really intending to position this as a first-line frontline therapy to compete head-on with dupilumab in the frontline setting, or do you view it more as a switch refractory option? And perhaps a few comments on price accordingly, pricing strategy. Thank you.
Okay, so let me start with the commercial and then I will hand over to Carl from a scientific point of view. So we are, as you can imagine, we are very thrilled with the data of the 16 weeks, but we want to be very careful and we are working on several assumptions and we need to wait for the 52 weeks data. In terms of pricing, that will be, you know, for sure determined by our label and by the data that we are going to see. And, you know, we need to just wait. And as I said, we are working on different level of assumption. We feel the market is growing. We are very happy with that. But give us some time and we'll be more precise with you in the months to come. Maybe, Carlo, you want to comment on the scientific part?
Yeah. Now with Advocate 1 and 2 and the 52 data and the ATIR study, these are the main regulatory studies to enable approval and the label. In terms of ensuring access and pricing in Europe, we have already started a phase 2B study called Advantage. This explores lebrikizumab in combination with topical corticosteroids in patient, adult, and adolescent with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis that are either not adequately controlled with cyclosporine or from whom cyclosporine is medically not advisable. This is a study that has started in last December and will be sized up around 300 patients with EC75 that we've seen as major endpoint. In addition, we are considering doing then head-to-head studies against available therapies. This is an ongoing discussion and will further update you on our thinking once the complete data package is available. As you know, we're still looking forward now to the 52 weeks data in the first half of this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Thibault Boutherin from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much for taking my question. Maybe my first question is on the kind of, you know, marketing message you can think of right now based on this data, because from what we can see on the 16 weeks, I mean, it looks as good as Dupixent, but the thing is we don't see, you know, major points of differentiation. So just when you send your sales reps out there, you know, what kind of message you can give to try to differentiate lebrikizumab as a treatment option, and also in relation to this, what is your confidence that you know, this drug could be useful in second line, given that obviously the mechanism on IL-13 is the same as Dupixent. So what confidence do you have that it can be useful in second line? So that's my first question. Second question, just if you could talk a little bit on your expectations for the monthly formulation every 4 weeks, the kind of degree of confidence you have at this stage that this could be a proper dosing option and that it could bring differentiation to the product. Thank you.
Maybe I can start and then Gianfranco can continue. So first of all, we believe that the 16-week data show that lebrikizumab has a very competitive profile, both in terms of benefit efficacy, but also in terms of side effect profile. As mentioned, the atopic dermatitis market is growing. There is still a strong need for alternative in that market. To now fully understand the profile and all the characterization, we need to wait for the 2 weeks data, which then also will inform on the every 2 weeks and every 4 weeks scheduling options we may have. And we will update you once those data are available.
Yeah, I think that you covered it, Carl. We are working, we are discussing internally on different angle of differentiating versus Dupi. And, the 52 weeks data is going to help us to clarify this one. So I think that Carl already covered the question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Guillaume Sampaio from CaixaBank. Please ask your question.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions. Two, if I may, and apologies, the first one was already answered. So any development in the definition of the next steps in terms of reimbursement studies, namely if there's going to be a head-to-head with Dupi? And second, do you maintain your view after this data that JAK inhibitors could have a higher penetration in new systemics versus biologics in atopic dermatitis, despite the toxicity issues that they presented? Thanks.
Maybe I can start and you can comment on the JAK inhibitors, Gianfranco. I mean, as said, we have started now the advanced phase through B trial. This is one of the study that also has been done by tralokinumab and Dupixent in patients that are either have failed on cyclosporine or are not medically advisable to take cyclosporine. This is one element. And a second element, as mentioned, is a consideration doing head-to-head studies versus standard of care. This is an ongoing discussion as we still not have yet the full data set, as mentioned.
Yeah, as Jack's question, that the Jack's both in the U.S. and in Europe, the regulatory agency are assessing the risk-benefit profile, and in particular, they are looking for the safety. And it's very early for us to speculate, so let's give the regulatory agency the time to perform their job, and then, we can be in a much better position to assess what will be the potential in the atopic dermatitis market.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Elizabeth Walton from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got a couple. Firstly, just looking at the efficacy data, it looked like you had a slightly lower benefit in the Advocate 2 study. Some discussion at the conference that might have been driven by a higher proportion of rest of world patients enrolled. I'm just curious if you'll look to present subgroup analysis by geography at some point in the future. My second question is on safety. There was some perhaps disappointment that the conjunctivitis signal was slightly higher than in phase 3 than what we saw in phase 2, and that was a topic of potential differentiation versus on-market biologics today. KOLs at the AAD meeting, noted the need for a head-to-head study to truly understand if there is a difference between drugs here. I'm just curious, you mentioned the possibility of running a head-to-head study for reimbursement purposes in Europe. Are you able to tell us if this is something that would be looking at comparing safety or with a non-inferiority sort of efficacy endpoint, or what might you be looking at there? And then just lastly, I know people have already brought up the topic of pricing. I'm not expecting you to comment on your pricing strategy, but more trying to understand if Almirall has complete freedom to price as you'd like to in Europe, given the shared rights of Lilly, and if there is a possibility to undercut Dupixent pricing in Europe specifically. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. On the first point, the difference between the efficacy data on Advocate 1 and 2. It is correct that in Advocate 2 we have slightly more Asian patients as a population, couple of percentage points. We have very carefully analyzed all the data because, as you can imagine, we were also a little bit surprised by that result. But at the end of the day, based on the data that are available today, we rather think that this clinical trial variability that we see here, rather than any effect on, for example, based on the country or ethnic composition. As said, this is our based on the data today, and when we have the 52-week data, this may then further evolve. On your second question around why is the conjunctivitis rate slightly higher in phase 3 as compared to phase 2, perhaps a couple of considerations. The first one, that we had a slightly different and larger patient populations, that is one thing. I think the second thing is that now with, having more biologics in the markets that were ahead of had also the awareness of conjunctivitis is of course growing. At the same time, I think this is still a low rate and can be well managed. And whether this is an area of differentiation with potentially studying this in head to head against other available standard of care, that is an ongoing discussion and is amongst the various considerations we have.
Yeah. In terms of pricing, you were asking our strategy. As we already said, we are working on several assumptions, but let's wait for the 52 weeks data, and then we are going to make it to decide to make it public. But for the time being, I would prefer not to answer to this question. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, dear participants. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Alvaro Lenze from Alantra Equities. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. The first one, if I am not mistaken, you have mentioned that you are seeing some dose dependency efficacy, but we only see the data for the for one arm with the same dose of 250 milligrams every 2 weeks. So could you please clarify where do you see dose dependency or whether this is from interim data from the 52 weeks trial? And the second one would be regarding guidance. It remains unchanged, even though since you first provided the guidance, the JA case looked like a much more pressing threat. And the labels that they have gotten in the United States seem to indicate that they would be second line after biological treatments or other systemic treatments. So I wanted to know whether there is any specific reason for you not changing your guidance. I don't know if you see a different size in the market or just this is out of pure caution. Thanks.
Yeah. So I'll take the first question. So really, thank you for listening very carefully and actually spotting that this is only one dose tested and it's not a dose dependency. I just realized that I was reading that, so sorry for that little slip through for that. So we don't want to speculate on any other dosing schedule, but we saw at this dose really a rapid improvement in terms of quality of life.
Yeah, and in terms of guidance, you are absolutely right that the market is moving a lot, but we won't take our time to see the data. I repeated several times of the 52 weeks, and then we are going to come back with our final guidance. But for the time being, we are observing very careful all the movements on the market, and that we need to wait for the final data. Thank you, Alvaro.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jaime Escribano from Banco Santander. Please ask your question.
Hello, good afternoon. So one question from my side, which has been kind of asked, but maybe in a different way. So from the data, where you are more excited about lebrikizumab? What from the primary and secondary endpoints? What is the data that for you is more encouraging? For example, versus Dupixent. And also, building on this question, the other way around. Is there any data that is below the expectation or that is below that of Dupixent? So what would be, in other words, what would be the weakest point of Lebri when comparing to Dupixent? Thank you.
Yeah, I think let me get started on that. First of all, there have been so far no head-to-head studies being confirmed, and therefore, we cannot really compare data because these cross-trial comparisons are really, really challenging and difficult. Yeah. When you ask me what is most excited about lebrikizumab is clearly the consistency of the data, yeah, so that we, meet the primary endpoints, all the secondary endpoints, all the data going into the right direction. When you look at quite a range of parameters that we measure, where we all see a very significant and substantial benefit. It's this overall profile of efficacy, but also, with what is overall a very good safety profile, an antibody with a high bioavailability with a low dosing, that it is really, from my perspective, really has the potential to be best in class. I think at this stage, I have to say I don't see any kind of downside or things that would have disappointed us. I think what we always have to bear in mind here that there is always these questions about what are the real drivers, and I think those data also from an overall perspective support the notion that IL-13 is this cytokine that drives atopic dermatitis, and if we address this very specifically, this will lead to a very substantial benefit for patients.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jaime.
Thank you. There are no further questions. I would like to hand the conference over to Pablo Divasson.
Thank you, Nadia. We are now going to close our Q&A session, and with this, we will complete our conference today. I want to thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.